Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis in the Randy's Rub Hot Box. Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. How are you doing tonight, Trent?
Man, I'm kind of tired, but I'm also still giddy from a great week two of Texas high school football.
Toby, we finally got Trent out of the house more than one night for Texas high school football.
That was cool.
Yeah, so got him out of the house two nights in a row. I went down to Woodville Thursday night and watched a good football game between Anahuac and Woodville. And then Friday night, Trent comes to Cold Spring and gets to experience the Battle of San Jacinto. And boy, was it a battle. That turned out to be a lot better game than I ever dreamed it would have been, in my opinion.
Yeah, it ended in a good way. I mean, if you're just watching a game, that was a good one to come watch and see the ending of it.
You know, if you were sitting in your seat, if somebody would, in the last 4 minutes of that football game, if you were sitting in your seat, then you were either one, disabled, and or two, not a Texas high school football fan. I mean, it didn't matter what side of the stadium you were sitting on.
Yeah, you had to be on your feet on that.
That was the most energy that I'd felt in Berlin Bradford Stadium in a long time.
In a very long time. Rightfully so. I mean, the last half of the fourth quarter was as good as you can get, right? Just as far as drama and the back and forth and, you know, the situations that they were being faced with the critical two-point conversions on both sides, right? Shepherd had a critical one. Cold Spring had a couple of critical ones. And we'll go over it more here in a little bit. But, man, it was a great football game.
A really, really good football game. It was as what should have been advertised. I mean, I fell short in it. I had Shepherd pick to win that game. And that game could have went either way. I mean, honestly. I picked Shepherd to win. I caught a little flack over that deal after the game, but it's okay. You know, I'm entitled to my opinion. Cold Spring.
Well, like you told me, you'd much rather lose a pick'em and then end up seeing a game like that and Cold Spring pull it out, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Because at the end of the day, I'm a diehard Cold Spring fan, but I'm a realist too, and that's what's the beauty of this is. I love Cold Spring football. I love the school district. I've been here for a long time. But sometimes you're just, you know, I'm a realist, and it's what I see. And, you know, we watched a running back put on a show in the second half of high school. You know, we watched two running backs put on a show. Preston Stevens from Shepherd in the first half put on a show. And then Tiger Parker in the second half, that was the big adjustment Cold Spring made in the second half and really started feeding him the rock. And, boy, he was phenomenal. And credit the front five. If y'all remember, you roll the tape back to last week. What was one thing I said, Toby, that the defense needed to do?
They needed more down linemen.
And that's exactly what they did. They run a little.
Well, you had to run that many down linemen on that offense.
No, you did.
All they do is they're just, everybody's in the box, Shepherd, I'm speaking of.
Yeah.
And they're just going to run right at you. And so you have to adjust your defense to be able to compromise for what they're doing, and that's what they did. So they had more down linemen, more people in the box.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what they did. They leaned their hat on that, and they did well on it. They're strong up front. And the last couple of years, that's kind of what they've done.
Yeah.
The only thing this year different from other years is we spread it out. And so it was like, hey, you're going to have to catch us in space. And I thought that we moved the ball better this game than we had the last two or three years that we played them.
Most definitely.
So we didn't try to say, hey, you're just going to keep it between the hashes and we're coming at you as well. We took it and spread it out. And I think that's the same thing Kirbyville did and had success.
Yeah. So I was able to get stats this week. And 365 total yards for the Trojans, 236 on the ground, 129 passing for 5 touchdowns. Tiger Parker, 190 yards on 24 carries, 3 touchdowns, and 1 2-point conversion. David Rowe, 175 all-purpose yards, 46 rushing on 5 carries, and 129 yards passing. He is 8 for 17, 47%, and completed 1 for a 2-point conversion to Caden Barton over the middle. That was a sweet little play, a sweet catch by Caden.
Yeah.
Anton Phillips, 74 yards, receiving on 2 receptions. TJ Johnson, the senior, 41 yards on 3 receptions. And then Landon Ellisor, 11 yards on 2 receptions, which I thought Landon had a little bit more than that, but it was on the far side of the field. And so I got him and Anton are swapped up.
Yeah.
But and then Caden Barton, 3 yards on 1 catch, 2 points conversion. But that catch Caden made was really, it wasn't right in the breadbasket. You know what I mean? Caden kind of had to lay out to catch it, and that it turned out to be a pivotal 2-point conversion as you know the game ended. So, but the dramatic, the game finished in very dramatic fashion. And for those that didn't listen to the call, I mean it was second and goal from like the 2, and Shepherd had the ball, Cold Spring leading. At that time, 36, whatever.
They were up by 8.
Yeah, they were up by 8. And they stopped them at the goal line and stopped the clock with 1 tick left on the clock. And
which was questionable.
Yes. I was trying to figure that out. But they had to stop the clock to sort everything out. But my deal is if he didn't make it, he didn't make it. The clock should have been running. There was never a signal. I understand having to.
Well, I think what they said is there was 9 seconds on the clock.
Right.
And originally it was 4, and they moved it back to 9.
Yes.
So that enabled it to give a little bit, and I guess just that play took 8 seconds. I don't know.
Yeah, but
I mean, as much as you want to run it out, I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention to it. But
my deal is it was a running play. It was not a passing play.
Yeah. And what kind of got me is it was kind of forward progress, you know? It was like the guy was still moving. But yet they called him down, and I'm like, but if he would have kept moving the pile and he would have went across the goal line, I feel like they would have gave him a touchdown. So it was questionable, like Trent said. I mean, it was kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was one of those type deals. But, man, when they got it first down and on the 1, you knew they were going in. So you knew, okay, we got to get ready for this 2-point conversion. We got to get a stop here.
Right.
And then you got to pick, what are they going to do? Are they going to try to roll out and pass it? Are they going to roll their quarterback and run him, or are they going to give it to 20?
Right.
And they gave it to 20, and we made a great penetration on that outside to get him.
Yep.
And his momentum was stopped, and that was it. And so it went the Trojans' way, and it was, like, super exciting. I was really, really happy for the kids.
Well,
that was the big thing. I was really, really happy for the kids. They had wanted that really bad, I felt like. And you could just – the rest of that night, they were just – it was a different happy than what you normally get. So that's something that they'll always remember.
No, it will be.
And they don't have to go down as the one that just kept losing to them. So, super excited for them. I thought that overall, you know, definitely a great game. I felt like the coaches made a great adjustment. I thought they stayed true to what they said they were going to do this year.
Right.
I felt like they could have went back to what they did, and it would have been okay, too, if it would have called for it, right?
Right.
But I thought they had a great game plan. I thought, you know, defense-wise, I mean, it's tough. I mean, sometimes another team's stronger than you were, and I felt like that their own line was stronger than what we were, but we were getting penetration, and we were doing the little things, and being on Shepherd's side, man, when you're doing that, you've got to make sure you get 3 or 4 yards every time, and when you don't, you're going to get that turnover.
Right.
And if you can't spread it out and throw it, which they didn't throw it very often, it just left them kind of in the air on situations. And so, but we would always capitalize and do a good job. You know, hats off to Cold Springs. They're 2-0. It's exciting around here. And like I said, all they can do is just continue each week to get better.
No, most definitely. And a huge game coming up this week. We'll be all coming to the house. So looking forward to that game for the Trojans. I kept saying all night long, Friday night, we'd be on the road. And Trent and I talked, like, at the half and everything. You can go ahead and turn that video back off, Trent. We don't need to see you.
Well, I mean, I was just trying to get it, you know. I felt left out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me go back.
I mean, I've got some good internet for a change. So.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you video wise. Oh, something we haven't brought up. Coach Neese, the Anahuac Panthers, he's going to be on the show tonight. So, got a guest coming in. So, we got to be on our best behavior, guys. It's going to be interesting. I'm to get to listen to what he has to say and one, talk about the Anahuac Woodville game this last week and what it meant for him. So, looking forward to having him on the show this week. But, man, moving forward, I was able to reprogram my phone, Toby, that Trent's not the caboose anymore. So, in the pick'ems. We had increased on the pick'ems, had some more people come in, but a total of 27 now. But, Trent, why don't you give us a recap?
Yeah, I mean, it was a super crazy week when it comes to pick'ems. I think that it seemed like there was more 4-2 top finishes, 3-3 top finishes. That one thing that I wanted to mention is that I messed up the pick'ems this week. We, instead of having 7 games, we had 6 games, so we just rolled with it. But Craig Irwin is bringing up the caboose. He was 1-5 this week.
Well, when you go out on a limb, you take Shepherd.
Trent, what were you?
I was 4-2.
What were you last week?
I was 4-3 last week. So consistency is key.
Okay. We're going to average it out. We'll see.
It's not where you start, it's where you finish.
Where are you sitting right now, Trent?
I sit in 10th. Okay. Toby is sitting in 9th overall. Craig dropped to number 17. Our leader, after 2 weeks of play, is Ashley Elam over there at Hardin-Jefferson, formerly of 409 Sports Blitz. Let me get over to the totals here.
So just call me Bagwell.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 people sitting at 11-2 in the pick'ems. Like I said, Ashley's leading it. Ray Parkinson is in 2nd. Cindy Delao is in 3rd. Cindy Dearman is in 4th. So she had another consistent week. Then we have another 4 people sitting at 10-3. So it's Cullen Till, Landon Corbett, Brian McDaniel, John Whitehead. One person sitting at 9-4. That is Toby over there by his lonesome sitting in 9th. I am 8-5. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people sitting at 8-5. And that's kind of where I'll stop with the top 10 in our pick'ems.
Man, good group. Everybody chiming in, getting involved in the pick'ems. I enjoy doing this every year. We do it at the Bullet Grill on Wednesday nights. We take these same pick'ems and talk about them for our pregame shows. So, boy, Bullet Grill was happening this last week, wasn't it?
Toby slipped in there. Great place to be on Wednesday.
Yeah, it is. If you're not at Bullet Grill on Wednesday night, you're missing out.
Got that right.
$1.60 wing night. You had a salad this last week, didn't you?
Phenomenal.
Was it good? I've never had a salad
there. It's outstanding.
Never had a salad there. I have that sandwich I created, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
And
that was good.
Excuse me. Let's talk about
all these tight scores.
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about some of these games and why I only got 2 right out of my pick'ems.
Dude, there was some really close games all week long. Let's talk about Liberty and Splendora.
That's right.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So my insider, not whistleblower, we got to figure out what's going on with whistleblower. Like, he's been, like, non-existent. I mean,
well, when you move to Mont Belvieu, that tends to happen.
Oh, there's so much more you need to know. There's so much more you need to know that we haven't even talked about, Mr. Hart. But whistleblower's been non-existent in the Texas high school football scene other than chiming in on the pick'ems. So we got to figure something out.
So the Splendora game, didn't it come down to the very end?
Yeah, it came down to the
very
end.
Tell us what you heard on that.
So our insider down there that listens.
This is not whistleblower.
Not whistleblower. Okay. This is just the insider.
Okay.
He called us when we were at El Chiquito.
Yeah.
And said of Liberty, their discipline as far as personal fouls. He said if Liberty would have cleaned that up, they would have won that football game. He said that played a big factor in it. But
even with that said, didn't it come down to the very end?
Yeah, it come down right there at the end. I'm trying to pull that final up.
So Liberty's a good – I mean, obviously they got a new coach. They lost to Cold Springs.
Yeah.
Now they lost to Splendor. And now they get somebody else pretty decent this week.
Yeah, it's
they could very easily go 0-3, and really they're not a bad team. No. They were, to me, they blew the Cold Springs game.
Yeah.
And they obviously were in this one to win.
Right.
So they're just right on the verge of getting things on track to start going. But you really hate to see that as they roll into district having to be the...
No, you do.
You know what I mean? You want to have momentum, and you want to be that 2-0 team. And
well, you do. And, you know, we talk about Liberty, and we were kind of talking about the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And them getting into the playoffs. So they lose to Cold Spring. They lose to Splendor. That's 27-28 was the final there. They got East Chambers this week.
Yeah.
Which East Chambers, didn't they just get their first win this week? And then,
from Hardin Jefferson. And I'm just looking here that East Chambers is a 21-point favorite early on here against the Liberty Panthers. I think it's going to be closer than that.
I do too. What do you think, Tony?
I don't know.
We haven't seen East Chambers, but yeah, we see their
record. Is that one of our games this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to tell you yet my thoughts on it, but
golly,
I gotta create separation with y'all. Fell back tonight.
What about Dieball dropping to 32-13 to West Rusk?
Yeah, I don't know much about West Rusk, but I bet they're pretty good.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Newton goes 0-2. They lose to Jefferson 47-38 final there. New Waverly made a game out of it.
Talk about a big deal with Newton going 0-2 on the season. It's going to drop in the rankings again.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Probably going to drop out of the rankings, in my opinion.
You think they'll drop out completely?
They're think they'll drop stuff. To like
9. Hang on, I'll tell you. Real quick. Maybe. What are they? 3A Division 2? So.
They're currently... Well, they've already taken down the rankings, haven't they?
They're not uploaded yet. They updated.
Weren't they like number 6?
Hang on, my computer just started moving.
While you're looking on that,
yeah,
let's talk about Thursday night games. So it looks like one team that I wanted to bring up is Kingwood 28 over LaPorte 21. I think Kingwood's 2-0. We need to really start watching them.
You really think we do?
Yeah. They're close. They're up 59.
No, I get geographically, yeah. But I guess my question is when's the last time we talked about Kingwood?
That's my point. Caught my eye. We need to kind of watch them.
I'm down with that.
Another one is West Sabine 68 over Tenhall 21. And then, of course, Anahuac and Woodville. And, you know, everybody on here wants to hear about this.
Well, I thought we would hold off on that Anahuac Woodville.
Oh, you want to wait?
Well, we got Coach Neese coming on.
Okay.
With the Anahuac Panthers. Got him coming on the show. So
I didn't go to the game, but I felt like I was at the game because I was watching Anahuac Sports Live.
Dude, if you're not watching.
Yeah, just right over my phone.
Anahuac Sports Live. I was mowing
the grass watching it at the same time.
Yeah, sending the link.
I didn't even have to go to the game. You went to the game, I didn't have to go to the game. So then I called you to get the inside on, hey, what was the atmosphere like? So I didn't feel like I missed anything, but I was able to watch it.
It was
Anahuac Sports 5.
It was a good football
game. And by the way, it was outstanding, the coverage again. Somebody had called me, one of my friend of mine called me, he goes, dude, this thing's like you're watching ESPN. I said, I know. I said, I want to get a commercial on there. The commercials are like super cool.
I know a guy that can sell you a spot.
Yeah, I do too. He's pretty good about making commercials too.
Yeah. So there was a lot of good games, but we kind of talked about it. We talked about these close games, Toler and Teague, 23-21. We didn't talk about Tarkington getting their first win of the season over Snook. Was it 44?
They had some delays with power stuff going over there in Tarkington. Yeah.
Yeah.
right? With the lights not being, they lost power or something, had to start that game early.
Yep. That was crazy, honestly. I mean, I wasn't there, but they was able to pull that out, and a big win for Tarkington over Snook. So super excited for Coach Belt and them. Crockett gets a win over Cypress Christian, 33, or drops one to Cypress Christian, 37-33 was the final there. And Crockett is one that we've talked about over in that bi-district round, Toby. Kind of that bi-district that Cold Spring and Inouye's in, you know, about making the playoffs over there. But we got to see Crockett. We know what they got. And they're a good football program this year. It's like they've done a 180 since what we've seen the last 3 years out of Crockett. You know what I mean? Just watching them on the field in that scrimmage the other day. So they dropped one. They moved to 1-1. So just kind of wanted to bring that up. Love Lady drops one to Timpson. Timpson wins 50-46.
So that was a good game. It was a go either way.
Yeah.
I took Love Lady because we know a little about them, and took a loss in the pick'ems.
Well, and
but
we took
Timpson was good. Did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Timpson was good. Obviously, they have the good back that's running for the University of Texas A&M now.
Right.
So I felt like them not having him, you know, he's once in a generation type guy. They're probably going to fall down a little bit, but was I wrong? That looked like that was a shootout.
Here's one we missed Saturday that we should have made. Aldine MacArthur defeats Channelview 14-13.
Now, why would we Aldine MacArthur?
You know why. Just think about it. Just think about it, and you'll know why I bring it up. Lake Creek over St. Thomas, 41-10. Lake Creek bouncing back after a loss last week to Magnolia.
So, how about our Livingston Lions?
Man.
Needville.
Gosh.
They've had Needville on that schedule for like 4 years. I think Needville beat them like every year.
So it's been, so this would be the fifth year.
Fifth year.
Yeah. The first year they had them, they played on a Saturday in Needville. There was, it got moved to a Saturday.
Right.
And it was like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, as hot as Hades. And I did not do the game, but carried on to overtime. And Livingston ended up losing that one. But, yeah, Needville's been dedicated.
I don't know why they picked that, because that's all the way across Houston on a Friday.
I don't know.
For both. I know that he was at Angleton.
Right.
So, he's, you know, Needville's like right down the road. So, there's probably some kind of relationship there.
Yeah.
But when I thought about that, I was like, man, why would you schedule that going across Houston on a Friday? Either team. But it didn't do a two-year deal. They've done it like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But Needville had their way with Livingston on that.
They have been playing those games on Saturday. And this year they did it on Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
I got you.
What about Nederland dropping – or Westmore Stark dropping one to Nederland?
That's right. Y'all look out for Nederland.
One-point football game.
Look at Nederland. And we know that West Orange did very well against
Newton. Right.
So – yeah, I'm watching Nederland.
So it raises a lot of questions, right, out of that area. One, and Newton puts a ton West Orange puts a ton of points up on Newton, but yet drops it by one to Nederland,
mm-hmm.
You know. So really, I guess the question is West Orange. I guess what really the question brings up is, and Newton dropping one this week, really, how far down is Newton this year?
Good question.
It's
you don't want to get on that freshman
running back. Well, their freshman running back last year was very impressive, and I felt like Newton was in a good position with him coming back. And who knows, he might be injured for all we know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it takes more than one player, obviously, but it's just perplexing to me. I'd like to know what's going on over there in the Purple Pride neighborhood.
Well, we'll get some of them guys down there in the Golden Triangle jump in on the podcast maybe next week.
Yeah.
And visit with him a little bit, maybe get some insight on Newton.
How about Jasper, 35 over Palestine, 21?
That was a tie
game.
Now,
we watched Jasper scrimmage,
yeah,
dive ball, and we know that they got the good receiver. They're going to be good. We know Silsby's going to be good.
Right.
So, I think they're both back like they were last year.
I don't think Silsby's as heavy as what they were last year.
Well, what they just did this past weekend,
Yeah, LCM is not a terrible team. Yeah. Right?
No, that showed me a lot. Matter of fact, I was talking to my dad about it. He's like, "Dude, you took LCM." He's like, "Dude, never. You don't go against Silsby."
We were trying to put a new curve in there, but I mean, no, and I don't disagree with Big E. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's but then this week Pick'ems. I said, "What about this?" And all of a sudden, he's like, "Well,
all right." Then.
And I'm like, "See, now you're going against what you say."
Put it in reverse, Terry.
Yeah. So.
No, it's going to be. There's a lot to talk about there. What about Kingwood Park over Dayton? 30
Kingwood Park's 2-0.
Yep.
That's another one.
And then there was another one I was just looking at right here.
One I wanted to ask about.
Summer Creek and Houston Lamar. Summer Creek puts 52, shuts Houston Lamar off.
That's expected.
Off.
That's expected.
Yeah, but my relevancy there is out of that district. You got. Summer Creek played Lamar, and then last week, Atascocita, or 2 weeks ago, Atascocita and Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, right. I expected that.
So, no, we expected it.
What I'm wondering about is, you talking relevancy, we just played Shepherd. We went to a wire with Shepherd.
Right.
Kirbyville beat Shepherd by a lot. Kirbyville goes and gets blanketed by Bridge City, 50-0.
I mean.
What happened?
Destroyed.
That's what
happened. What happened?
And I think you and I kind of thought about this, like
when had me and all you guys thinking the same thing, right? Yeah. Like, what's going on at Kirbyville? Is it like really inconsistent?
Or
because what I had heard, this is just guys that had watched the film on the Kirbyville and Shepherd, is that they did like we did. They got it outside in their speed in open space.
So Kirbyville plays up to Bridge City, right?
Yep.
Kirbyville's on that cusp where they could have dropped to 3A Division II.
Right.
Like real close number wise. So they're pretty small in the 3A Division 1 level. But jumping up, Bridge City's 4A Division 2, but opted up to 4A Division 1, right?
Yeah.
So you have that.
But they just played Shepherd, who's big up front. That's an
interesting note about Bridge City is that they played Buna last week, 54-6. Plays Kirbyville this week, 50-0. Plays Orangefield at Bridge City this next week. So, it's strange for one them playing that many teams in our district in preseason. Two is if they beat Orangefield by 50 plus.
Yeah,
I mean
Orangefield struggling really to do Waverly.
Right.
So Orangefield now I'm thinking is out on our playoff situation.
Could be.
I mean, going it's off of just scores. I mean, I'm being serious.
Right. Well, look, let's take a quick break, and when we come back.
We already got to take a break, Rick?
Yeah, we're 30 minutes in already.
Oh, okay.
We'll have
so much that we got to go over.
Can I hear one of those good commercials that Anahuac Sports Live has?
We're going to have several good commercials.
Okay.
Wilcox Drug may be one of them.
Yes, that's my kinfolks.
That is Toby's kinfolk. Yeah. But
really?
We're going to take a break here on the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Coach Neese, when we come back.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
And welcome back to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box up here in Cold Spring, Texas. Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box down there in Anahuac, Texas. And Trent, speaking of Anahuac, Texas, got a guest down there with us.
Yeah, got head coach and athletic director Greg Neese of the Anahuac Panthers. Coach, we appreciate you coming in.
I've been looking forward to this all weekend. Appreciate you guys having me.
Coach, it's great having you on the show. You're officially, as long as everything works out right, the first coach we've had on the show this season. We tried to have Coach Ratliff with the Corgan Camden Bulldogs on a couple weeks ago, and my computer crashed. And so with it crashing. I lost the whole show. So you are officially the first coach on the 590 Sports Show, and we appreciate you coming in. So
I appreciate that. I'm sure I'll get a prize or an award, and I'll get that from Trent.
Yes. Trent has everything there at the Porter's Processing Swamp Box, and he'll be able to get that over to you. But, Coach, congratulations on a good win this last week against a very tough Woodville football team. As I got the – y'all playing on Thursday night, it opened up my schedule for me to be able to get down there and watch y'all play. And weather conditions were not favorable for either team, honestly, in that game, a 29-20 win for the Anahuac Panthers to move to 2-0 on the season. So congratulations on a great win. But I know Toby's itching to talk about it. We want to kind of talk about that game a little bit.
Well, it was a heck of a performance by our kids. And, you know, the weather, we were expecting it to be really, really bad, and it kind of gave us a break as far as the rain and during, you know, really rain during pregame. And during the game, it really wasn't a factor at all. We kept waiting for a big downpour, but it really never happened. And the field was a little bit slick, but, you know, our kids came out and performed. And Woodville, man, hats off to them. Those guys are really good. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with in 3A Division II in the playoffs, and I could see them playing late November and December also.
Yeah, that district that Woodville's in, not to get off the Anahuac Panthers, but as you go back and we've been watching the scoreboard over the last 2 weeks, and Woodville moving in that district with Newton, that's going to really kind of shake things up out of that district and really give Newton something to compete for, not breeze through for a district title. So something that's going to be fun to watch, and one of the good things the UIL's done, you know, with the realignment this year.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Newton, I coached Newton in 17 and 18, but before that I was at Kirbyville for 12 years. And the last time Newton didn't win a district championship, I happened to be at Kirbyville as offensive coordinator in 2008-2009. And since then, they've won championships every year. So they're going to have their hands full with Woodville. Woodville had their hands full with Newton also. So that'll be very an intriguing game when that rolls around. I think they play maybe in October. So that'll be a very interesting game to see how that turns out.
Yeah, Coach, thanks for being on the show. This is Toby here. Anyways, I wanted to go over with y'all's quarterback, man. You guys got a great quarterback that throws it around good. I've been able to watch some of the video that Anahuac Sports Live has put on and been extremely impressed with the way he slings it around.
Yeah, Brady Berger is he's a heck of a football player. He loves the game of football. We had him as a freshman, and, you know, he threw for – set all the passing records at Anahuac, and in just his freshman year, he passed for like 2,600 yards, and he was just – but more than him just throwing the football, I have not coached a kid that is more competitive than him. I've had some that are just as competitive, but there's nobody that's more competitive than him. And what I mean, I'm not just talking about in the game, but in practice, he's a great practice player, and he competes by himself. You know, when it's not practice time, he's always wanting to go out and throw the football around, getting kids up there, getting his dad, who's our coach, Ned Berger, heck of a football coach, and he's our passing game coordinator. So, you know, Brady, he's a heck of an individual. He just has a positive aura around him, and walking in the hallways, when he came back last spring, I mean, not just football players were excited to see him, I mean, the whole school, teachers and students. So he's just a fine young man and a heck of a football player.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know you guys are off to a great start this year, and I know we're definitely thinking big things out of Anahuac for sure. We talk about it each week and talk about you guys a lot, and so we're glad to have you on and wish you all the best of luck.
Toby's actually looking forward to the last week of the regular season when Cold Spring and Anahuac face off. So that'll
be a good one. That'll be another Thursday night game. They're coming to our place this year, and we played them in the playoffs a few years ago, and over at Texas Drive Stadium. And I know Coach does a great job over there. They're going to have a great team, and it may be for the district championship. That'd be pretty cool.
You know, Coach Neese, you talk about that playoff game at Texan Drive. I actually do the broadcasting for the Cold Spring Trojans football. And so I was at that game. It was before Trent and I even knew each other, just a year shy. So I remember that game very well. First game I'd ever done at Texan Drive in a great facility over there at New Caney ISD. But, you know, Toby and I, that being a Thursday night game, we're super excited because then that opens up Friday and Saturday for us to go catch some games as well. But definitely looking forward to that game in the final week of the season. And I'm hoping it's down to the wire as you with these two teams as we go back and we scoreboard watch the district, right, with between what East Chambers has done getting started this season, Orangefield as well, then Kirbyville, not really knowing what to expect with them. So this new district shakeup is very interesting with the UIL realignment this year.
Yeah, it is. And we were really surprised, and I think Coach Stanley was maybe surprised also that they came into our district. You know, we're familiar. I'm familiar with Cold Spring, and when I was at Kirbyville, we played them a few times, and they knocked us out of the playoffs. Probably our best team in 2010 in the third round. It was a heck of a football game. Coach Barbe was over there, and that was our only loss. We had beaten them the first game of the year. And there's a lot of football games to get through in our district with those teams that you mentioned. You know, everything starts, I believe, every year is what do you do against East Chambers? Because East Chambers has got a program, and they're always going to be in the mix for the district championship. We played them over there this year, and then for us, our Achilles heel since I've been at Anahuac is Orangefield. We haven't beaten Orangefield since I've been here, and they're going to be a outstanding football team, and they played Woodville really tough in week one and just had some bad breaks and stuff. So, and then Kirbyville is they always have great athletes. They were the district champion last year. That was really our best win of the season last year when we beat Kirbyville. But, you know, getting all the way to us in Cold Spring, if we are playing for district championship that last week against Cold Spring, that means that the Anahuac and Cold Spring have had some really, really good district victories. So that remains to be seen, but it'll be exciting to look forward to.
You know, you talk about last year. I want to go back real quick, and then I'll follow through. But that year that you were talking about in 2010, Trent, I was just telling you about that Cold Spring Kirbyville game, the coldest football game I'd ever been to, and that was Cold Spring and Kirbyville at Lamar Stadium in Beaumont. Coach, I know you remember how cold it was there. It was blistering cold.
Yeah. It really was, and all I remember a pregame because I got to call plays up in the press box. Right? Yeah. That's why I miss being an offensive coordinator. I always go up in the box, so the bad weather never really affects me. I let the coaches on the sideline know about it. I tell them how hot the coffee is and the food tastes good. That was a heck of a football game.
That really was. And yeah. Kirbyville had beat Cold Spring in pre-district that year.
Yeah, that was the very first game of the year. Yep. And we beat them, I think it was, might have been 20-6 or something like that. And yep. Then, you know, we're 12-0. We just got through beating Waco La Vega the week before in the second round. And we had played for the state championship in 08 and 09 at Kirbyville. And so all those kids were seniors. That Fred Ford was our running back. Caleb Sikansi was a district MVP. And, you know, Fred was all-time leading rusher at Kirbyville. But I just remember that game. That still haunts me. We were up. I think we're up like 20-6 or 21-6 or something like that. And we throw a long pass and we get the ball down on the 5-yard line, first and goal from the 5. And I'm good friends with Brian Barbe because we worked together at Kirbyville. And he told me, he goes, Coach, if y'all had scored right there, we were folding our 10. And dadgum, that we dropped the touchdown pass. We busted a couple of blocking assignments and then threw an incomplete on 4th down. And then they, can't remember that running back. He was number one.
Sherman
rips off about a 50-yard run on the very first play. We tackle him at the 50. And from that point on, it was just – I mean, we still had a 2-touchdown lead, but it was like the momentum shifted, and, man, it just went Cold Spring's way, and they went to the state championship game, got beat by Carthage. But, I remember that game. It still haunts me.
That was probably the best running back duo that Cold Spring had. You had Sherman Gilbert and Cody Cummins. And called it the two-headed monster. Alfred Scott was a quarterback then for Cold Spring. So a lot of fun.
So, Coach, did you get that job right after Jack Alvarez?
Yes, I did. He had asked me to go with him to Ennis when he got that job to be his offensive coordinator. And that time of my situation and family and everything, we decided to stay at Kirbyville. And I got the head coaching job there. And I was head coach there for 6 years. And
right. That's awesome.
Yes.
I like bringing up the history. Toby and I were riding down the road going to Liberty a couple weeks ago talking about coaching, and coaches were here and there, and ended up texting Chip Keel to figure out who a coach was before him over there at Chevron. But I like the history of the coaching and where they've been, the road to success.
Well, you know, it's how you move up the ladder. You know, you get at a place like Kirbyville that, you know, does win and had some really good years, and get your wins and losses up, and then you land another job and so on. And it's just interesting to see. And if you look at the track record, it's kind of like stats. You know, you can always tell if a coach produces.
Right.
And by looking at yours, Coach, I mean, you could tell that you produce each every year. You're going to have good winning seasons. And high school football, you're going to have down seasons. I mean, it just is what it is. Well, and a lot of times you can tell, hey, you know, we have about a 2 or 3 year coming that's we don't have a lot, you know. Well, and you got to coach it up to really win.
And you did a little research, Coach.
He really had to when he – Coach, we've talked about this often whenever you first came to Anahuac and really had to dig your heels in and change the culture around here whenever that you first came into that first year.
Yeah, I did. And that was a big deal, changing the culture really in all the athletic – you know, the whole athletic program. It was just from the outside looking in, it just always seemed like Anahuac was just okay at that point for, you know, just being mediocre. It was like it was okay. And when I got there, that was kind of some attitudes that were around. And I remember that first track meet I went to when I got the job April 1st, 2019, that we were hosting. And I had a couple parents come up and they said, Coach, are you excited about being at Anahuac? And what do you think about being here? I said, well, I'm excited. I said, this place is a gold mine. And they were like, really? I said, yeah, absolutely. I said, this place is a gold mine. These facilities are incredible. But before the facilities were really, really
down.
Bad. Yeah. They were bad.
They were bad. They were rough.
Coming in from coaching at other schools, it was not very good. It was one of the worst ones. But what they did with the facilities at Anahuac is incredible, with the stadium and the football, with the football field house and the weight room and everything. But anyway, I was trying to. I'm an athletic director first, but I really know that my job is, you know, there's expectations with the football job and to get wins and you know, win championships. And that's what I appealed about me. What was appealing was Dennis Wagner, the superintendent who hired me. He was wanting a winning program. And anyway, that when he hired me, that, you know, that was my goal, is to have the best all-around athletic program, but also win championships and get in the playoffs and win playoff games at Anahuac for Anahuac High School.
Right. It had been a long time. I think one time over the course of 6 years before you got in to where, you know, your first year in, Anahuac made the playoffs and finally got over that bye district hump in the third year whenever you beat, we already talked about that Cold Spring game over there in New Caney, and then again against Palestine Westwood, and then of course last year had some different circumstances going on. We've already talked about all those at length, but this year is kind of there's a lot of atmosphere and a lot of hype surrounding Anahuac and this football team, and we've talked about it a lot here on the show. But going back to that Woodville game, we already talked about Brady Barrier and how of a dynamic player he is, but it also goes to the players around him. Thomas Dello, I mean, y'all kind of established the run there. He had a little over 100 yards. Were y'all going into that game against Woodville trying to keep it on the ground, or y'all just kind of made an adjustment as you went?
Well, it was kind of an adjustment with what Woodville was doing to us to try to, you know, kind of thwart our passing game. And I think that's going to be kind of the standard. We saw that in the second scrimmage against Hardin Jefferson. They were really loading up against the pass and daring us to beat them with the run. And, you know, they start doubling Quandre Coates and things like that. They don't want to get that big fella. They don't want him to have the football on the second level, because when he does catch in the second level, he's dangerous. And anyway, they were kind of giving us some opportunities to run it. A lot of times they were five in the box and we were able to pop it up inside, and Thomas did a great job. He's not the fastest running back, but he's a pretty smart and heady running back, and has some natural running skills, and finds the right hole the majority of the time. And, you know, he had over 100 yards and didn't turn the football over. So he was a key, a big-time key for our victory the other night, for sure. And of course, our offensive line did a great job also. That's probably the best defensive front we'll be facing all year long.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. When y'all played Woodville, I was in my mind, I was thinking it's going to show a lot because I know Woodville's in a lower class, but I think in the first and second round, that's about as good as a team you're going to face. And you guys prevailed through that game, so it showed a lot.
Woodville's got some dudes now. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I know.
They could go to 4A and compete with just about anybody.
Oh, yeah.
They have some dudes. They really have more dudes than us.
Yeah.
If you look at it, and that's not to slight our kids. Our kids don't like when I say that, but I'm awesome.
Yeah, yeah, you're just talking about athlete for athlete.
Yeah, athlete for athlete. I mean, and some of the good things that, you know, you play the football game, and everybody's saying, well, if they wouldn't have fumbled five or six times, or if they wouldn't have turned it over six times, Woodville would have beat us. Well, that's part of the game. Part of the game is, you know, teaching your kids on defense how to strip the football. And we ripped the football out eight times. Two times we got it back, you look at the video, and there should have been more fumbles.
Yeah, and y'all had some turnovers as well. I mean, one time I tuned in, and y'all must have went 40 yards backwards. Like, I don't know what part of the game it was, and I was watching it, and I'm like, what is going on? And it just kept being false starts, and it just all kinds of stuff, and it was going backwards. So it's probably fared out both ways, you know.
Right, right. So it was a great effort.
Just mentioned it.
Go ahead, Trent.
Go ahead, Coach.
I was just going to say.
Well, I mean, I was just
that one drive when we were going backwards. That was a challenging moment of the game for us, and I think we were still behind at that point. And Brady he took a pounding. He did a lot of running on his own, scrambling for his life, and he had to come out of the game for a play. And then I put Oscar Garza in there, who was a excellent middle school quarterback, and he's also one of our best receivers and starting corner and our kicker, and he's kind of our backup quarterback when we go under center, and he turns and pitches it over the head of our running back. That ball bounced back to the 4-yard line, so we had to punt it out from our own end zone, but we overcame that situation. But that's why we went backwards. It was not a very comfortable feeling at all.
Coach, you got Garrison this week, and a lot of people look at a schedule and say, man, why are they playing that far down? You know, but us that follow high school football know what kind of a program Garrison has. That game was originally, I believe it was slated, y'all were going to play that midway kind of over in Woodville, and now y'all have it at the house. Since we have you on the show, whenever you're sitting down and you're back in February of last year, when you're putting your schedule together, what makes you want to schedule a game with Garrison? You know what I'm saying? And I think listeners want to know why, you know, what is the mindset on scheduling a game, dropping down to a 2A division one school? What's the mindset on going down to that level and playing?
Scrambling at the last second because you had some games scheduled with closer opponents, and they backed out for whatever reason, or they couldn't play, and then you're left without a game,
right,
and you're searching across the area, really trying to be close to your high school, and there's not any games. And so you take what you get, and, you know, you mentioned Jack Alvarez earlier. His son, Brandon, is a head coach at Garrison.
Yeah,
and I coached Brandon in 2005 when he was our starting center, but he was looking for a game, and so we agreed to play. And if we would have found something, we just couldn't find anything else. And Garrison plays some daggum good football. I don't care if they're 2A or 3. I mean, they're good. They got some players too.
Yep.
They played Timpson in the regional finals last year, the state champion, and gave them all they wanted. And so that Garrison is a heck of a football program. And you see that at Newton, too. Newton's always playing 4A teams. When I was there, we played Sealsby, of course, West Orange, and, you know, they're playing down. But And the reason they're coming to Anahuac, we were scheduled to play in Woodville at the halfway point. And then we were required to provide a bunch of workers, and it was just kind of getting a little hectic. So we agreed they would come here this year and then make the 3-hour drive, and then next year we'll go up there to return the favor. So wow. It's going to be a good football game. They're 2-0. They beat Art the other night. They beat Wascom, and you got Wascom, Art, and Garrison, and those in East Texas. That's three daggum good football programs.
And I agree. Not trying to, I was just kind of curious because, like I say, Garrison's one of those teams. Whenever I look at a pick'ems or something like that, and I see Garrison in there, I'm picking Garrison. You know, it's just
right. Yeah.
Well, rich history. You're thinking what they've done.
Right. Know. Much like Newton. Yeah. Yeah. We don't. It's very hard for us to pick against
Newton. I figured it was probably one of those scheduling issues. But at the same time, I thought maybe they do something that he's kind of wanting to tap into, and then, you know, that way to prepare his kids on down the road. Sometimes that's a reason too.
That's an interesting topic in February when the UIL districts come out and the new realignment, and it's a pretty neat atmosphere to be at if you've never been there. Just seeing, you know, because you have all these games penciled in, but hey, if we happen to be in this district or that district, then we can't play. But you know, so. We were left with that three games, really. And that's why we had to play a couple of Christian schools, Cypress Christian, game one. And we were scheduled to play Newton, and that didn't work out. And then we had Altair Rice week four. But they were in a district, I think an 18 district or whatever. Something happened, and they couldn't play us. So we had to pick up Lutheran South right there. And then Art Jefferson, who we played the last few years, didn't want to play us. Liberty didn't want to play us. They just wanted a scrimmage, so we're set with Garrison, and that's how we three Garrison Bulldogs.
Yeah, we start winning, you get the "I'm not playing you."
Yeah. So we talk about Liberty. Coach Ked Harrison, he was on one of those teams that you faced when you was in Kirbyville here in Cold Spring.
Absolutely, and, yeah.
Man, the tempo is just absolutely different over there at Liberty since he's got there this year. Stoked
he's doing a really good job. I was very impressed when we scrimmaged them, and he's quickly got their little mojo kind of turned around, and he's going to do a really good job. And I enjoyed meeting him. What a great guy and a heck of a football coach. And, he's going to do really good things.
I'm looking forward to following his career as a high school football coach. I've been following him since he graduated college. I followed him through college at SFA and then his coaching career as well. And him getting that coaching job was kind of a shock to me. Like, I didn't think he was there already, but he got that job. And then we got to go see Liberty in week one and was super stoked with the tempo of the offense. It's unfortunate he's 0-2. He could very easily be 2-0. Just the dynamics of the games and, you know, one situation happened and they fell short. But super excited about Ked and watching his journey as a high school football coach and stuff. But, Coach, we appreciate you coming on the show. I don't want to take too much more of your time. We appreciate you coming on and spending, 20, 30 minutes with us and getting drilled by us, I guess, not really, but it's been a pleasure visiting with you.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed talking about the past and former coaches, and just it's, I always enjoy interviews like this, so I appreciate the opportunity, and maybe we can do it again next year.
Maybe we can do it in the playoffs whenever y'all are going into
there you go.
We'll round two or round three.
See you in November.
Yes, sir. You're listening to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
From custom processing, professional guide and hunts, high tanning and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Porter's Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to PortersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.
Since 1948, Wilcox Drugstore has been the Anahuac area's most experienced and trusted pharmacy. Continuing its long-lasting reputation for personal attention to all your medical needs, Wilcox Drugstore offers counsel, refills, transfers, compounding, flu shots, and delivery. Visit pharmacist Dave Wilcox and his experienced staff today at 1208 Miller Street in Anahuac or call 409-267-6141. Wilcox Drugstore, delivering solutions, delivering confidence.
On the wings and more.
Welcome back to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Craig Irwin, Toby Tolis in the Randy's Rub Hot Box. Trent Hart down here in Anahuac, Texas, in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box.
And the crowd goes wild.
Crowd goes wild for Trent Hart. Got a couple guests in the Randy Rowe Hot Box next week. Yeah.
We got some guests in here. Some players.
Yeah, some Cold Spring players in here.
See, this
out.
Is how you build the future, right?
Yes.
Because eventually they'll graduate, move on, and they'll want to come back and do this.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the inside.
Who knows? One of them may end up being a high school football coach.
That's right.
Or something other. And they can say, man, I can remember when y'all started this podcast, you know, whenever I was still in high school.
That's right.
And y'all are still going strong. So I can't believe y'all are like a million views a week now. So, but.
If only, right?
Right. Next week, we're scheduled to have Randy Nance with randysrubs.com. And he's going to be
a big friend of the show.
Yes. He's going to come hang out with us throughout the show. So, looking forward to having him in here. And hopefully we can pick up some of the broadcasters from Southeast Texas Sports. Get some of those guys to zoom in and talk on the show a little bit. And maybe give a little more insight on maybe Jasper, Silsby, Hampshire, Finette, Newton. So, maybe get...
Yeah, we got to dissect a lot of these teams that are twisting our... arms on winning games and then playing tight ones with teams you don't think. And
right,
we got a lot of that going on, which is great for talk shows.
No, it really is. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, you know, we're getting real close to those district picks, yeah. Right, on what how we think districts are going to shake out and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. And having Randy in, he's been talking about coming in for the last year or so, and but he is coming in next Sunday. When we sit down here in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box, Betty brings some gifts. The CEO just came in downstairs. I hear him.
One thing I want to talk about, we talk about Anahuac throwing it around.
Right.
Let's talk about their defense.
Let's go.
Let's let Trent give us a little insight on the defense and what they did against Woodville.
Yeah, I mean, we just had Coach Neese on, and it was absolutely awesome to have him come into the show. And we touched on a lot of the offense. You know, we talked about Brady Barrier. We talked about Thomas Dello, some of the weapons that they had. You know, he mentioned Oscar the Magic Man Garza. He's just an all-around athlete. And, of course, you got to see Talon Cunningham, Craig, that one of the wide receivers. And they'll be getting another wide receiver and Logan Trotter back here before long. But the defense this past Thursday night was the big difference maker in that football game. Yeah, the conditions contributed to it, and I think Coach said something like they forced, you know, eight of them to pop out, and they were able to recover six. One of them scooped and scored by King Charles for an 80-yard touchdown run on the defensive side. And if you look at it, I mean, those turnovers and the way that Anahuac's defense was able to play against Woodville was really what won that football game for them, because the offense, especially passing wise, just wasn't clicking like we normally would have seen the week before or whatever. But I was super impressed with Tyler Kelly and the defensive front for Anahuac, you know, just really controlling the football game and getting in the backfield, causing those turnovers and taking advantage of them.
Seemed like every other play, Tyler Kelly, they were calling his name. You know, as I was sitting in the booth through the first half and then midway through the third quarter, I mean, it was constantly him. Causing a lot of disruption defensively for the Anahuac Panthers.
Yeah.
Did played really a really good football game. But you go back and you talk about the turnovers, and I mentioned it at the end of the half or during halftime whenever we were talking. Really, those forcing those turnovers were pivotal moments in the game. And King Charles taking that one back 80 yards for a touchdown, that really kind of set the tempo for Anahuac and just really made that game a lot more interesting and a lot funner to watch, too.
And part of that, like he said, they're forced. Yeah. You know, that's things that you work on, tackling drills, getting your hands in the right spots, sending a defensive end in there that's disrupting the play when they're handing the ball off.
Right.
I mean, these are things that, you know, they're forced turnovers. Sometimes you're self-inflicted. You know, don't get me wrong. Sometimes that does happen. But you're right. If y'all had four of those and y'all caused them, that was probably a big part of the game. And that's why when you're picking games like Woodville and Anahuac, this thing could go either way, right?
Right.
It's who's gonna dial up plays, who's going to have the turnovers, you know, that type of deal. And at the end of the day, with that score being so tight,
yeah,
coming down to the wire, it goes both ways, you know. Well,
and those are the games you expect whenever you go down and you start looking at schedules. Like last week, the Battle of San Jacinto. I mean, that was a question mark game. You didn't know how it was going to go.
What was Cold Springs going to do?
Right.
Are they going to
– Anahuac Woodville, that was a question mark game because you don't know how that game's going to –
Splendor really, Liberty.
Yeah. I mean
– which way is it going to go?
I mean, that old boy on the Facebook page said 55-10, Splendor is going to roll Liberty.
Well, Splendor is different this year. You know what I mean? Well, they did put 70 up on Cleveland. And they're 2-0.
But the West Fork Gators defeated Cleveland.
That's true. But they do have seniors, too. They're not all juniors.
The West Fork Gators, their first year
right,
playing UIL football,
yeah,
defeated Cleveland.
And what was the score? 21-0?
Enough.
21-0, right?
Yeah.
But what does that go to show for Splendor? 70 points on Cleveland.
You know what that tells me? Cleveland has zero defense.
Like, if I were scheduling games like we talked about with Coach Neese, I would not call Splendor, right?
No.
No, you would not call Cleveland.
Well, I wouldn't call either one. I wouldn't call either one, personally. But we talk about the matchup, the Garrison matchup for Anahuac. They defeated Art this last week, 27-26. We talk about the one-point games, one-score games. Whenever we came into the show, that's another one as I just clipped over on the screen. That was another tight one. So what about this? Trinity, Texas. Trinity ISD goes 2-0, defeating Groveton 33-32 as a final.
Yeah. Now Groveton gets Love Lady.
Yeah.
So game three. Yeah, that's a friend of mine over there that got that job in Groveton. And I know they're wanting to pull one out, you know.
Yeah.
And I knew the Trinity one, I thought they would win that game. But, you know, it's like anything else. When you come in and you're trying to do your way and change the way, sometimes that first year gets to be
right,
a 4-6 year or, you know, worse. And hopefully they'll get their stuff together and start winning games. But their third one's definitely not a good one to get with Love Lady.
So Trinity might have an opportunity to squeak in when we get toward the end.
We need to look at that then.
No, and we will.
Yeah,
next
we need
week.
To look at that. I need to know that route.
Yeah, something to look into for sure. Let's talk about Huntsville and Bryan last week. That was a ball game over there.
Yeah, so I got the inside scoop on how that went. My dad went to that game, and we knew that Bryan's defense is, you know, it's going to be tough for them to hold teams to 10 points, right?
Right.
But their offense is really good, a lot of speed. They got a receiver that's going to North Texas. I think the second play of the game, he goes 70, got by him, and the Huntsville coach made a great adjustment and put two guys on him. And basically it was like, hey, you know, this particular guy's not going to beat me. You're going to have to beat me in another spot. And it slowed it down. But late in the fourth quarter, that score was, I think, 28-21.
Right.
And then
I remember you sending me updates.
It was a scoop and score on the six, I think, and bam, bam, bam. And before you know it, it got out of hand there. But at the end of the day, like I said, Huntsville is as good as what I thought they were originally.
Right.
I think they let one get by them on the Brenham. But this week they got Cedar Park. And they go to Cedar Park, so that's going to be another good game for them. And that's what's good about when you schedule tougher teams throughout preseason when you do go into district and you start, you know, you roll through district and you go into, well, I say roll, they got Splendor in their district, so it's going to be a tough one. But later on,
yeah, you're talking about
in the playoffs,
it's going to be hard to beat Splendor.
Yeah, so later on in the playoffs when they do have to play P&Gs,
right?
Well, they're in their district, actually.
Yeah, they're all in the same district. Yeah. I mean,
so when you play at Richmond, Randall, and some of those.
Are you saying that district now with Huntsville and Splendora and P&G, that that's probably one of the toughest districts in the state in 5A?
I don't know a lot about Splendora, obviously. I just know they put 70 on Cleveland. So
I was just seeing if Cameron knows what I'm doing over there.
So I wasn't happy about the 70, right? No, but it is a very tough district, and I know we talked earlier about Montgomery Lake Creek being down a little bit.
Yeah,
and we wasn't sure early on, but if they were as good as they were last year, that would be probably one of the better districts that you can draw up, right? But yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that was the story out of Bryan.
So Livingston drops. We kind of talked about it a little bit. Somebody told me that. Had some viewership that wasn't happy because we weren't bringing Livingston up enough. So I want to bring it up. But they don't listen to the pregame show whenever we do an hour of Livingston football.
You'll cover lots of Livingston on that.
So Livingston drops to Neville 42-8. But we got some good games coming up this week.
Well, what we haven't touched on was the big glaring score off of my screen, which is Hampshire Finette. Dropping to Hitchcock, 71-48.
We do need to speak on that. So here's the deal on the Hampshire Vernette. Of course, we Cold Springs played Hampshire the last couple years, and we quickly got them off our schedule.
Which is I hated.
Yeah, but they threw the ball around really, really good. Going in, Dave Campbell had them picked to win the district with Silsby and Jasper and that whole group.
Right.
So it was kind of like, which I figured that because they got a lot back. They played some interesting games the first couple games, so we're kind of wondering what is going on over there.
I'm curious, and I'm hoping that...
We need some insight on it. Maybe somebody's hurt, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they're just not gelling.
I got a guy that
Aaron's
there at SETX. Yeah, Aaron.
We need to find out kind of what's the deal over there, and they may be holding back. I don't know. But.
I'll make sure we have Aaron on the show next week. I'll make sure he's on the show next week, and we're going to find out what's going on at Hampshire Finette. So who does Hampshire Finette have this week?
We have Vider. They'll be at Hampshire Finette. So it's a good football game.
That's one of our pick-ems. Is that one of our pick-ems? It's not?
Hampshire Finette has been in our pick-ems the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Niederland's in the pick-ems this week.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe they'll turn it around over there. I don't know.
We need to go to the pick-ems. I get to pick the game of the week this week.
Yeah, you're the caboose this week.
I am the caboose. So, Trent, I sent some games Saturday over to Trent in Utobi, and then Trent sent me what he had already sent me. So, there's some really good games this week. I mean, I could have went with, and I'm probably still going to go with that one. Even though since it's not on the list, we were sitting at B-Dubs, not a sponsor of the show, but we were there, and I was looking at lots and lots of games, and sending them out. First game we're going to put in the pick-ems. Corgan on the road at Kirbyville. Trent.
I am definitely going Kirbyville here, just judging by... And I was looking at it a while ago, looking at the just scoreboard watching, right?
Right.
Losing to Hardin this past week, and then beating Tarkington, who is poised for a deep playoff run, by the way.
Yes.
You know, 3 points, then winning against a great Tarkington team by 3 points. I'm still going to go with Kirbyville here.
So?
Yeah, as much as Corgan is rich in football history along with Kirbyville, I guess. I'm going to have to go Kirbyville as well.
Yeah, and, you know, y'all got to talk to Coach Ratliff. Nobody else got to hear that conversation, but y'all got to talk to him. And much as what he's done good for that program and as young as they were last year and a lot of returners coming back this year, I just don't think they're ready for, you know, that deep Southeast Texas football. And I got Kirbyville in this one as well. A game that we'll be at, Toby, Friday night, Woodville on the road at Cold Spring. I mean, I had to throw Cold Spring back in there after a great win this last week.
Yeah, you did. And I said, who's going first?
I'll let you go.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, Trent went first last time.
Okay. It's a tough one for me. Woodville, I know, is a very good team. We just talked to Coach a while ago from Anahuac, and he gave us his insight on them, and it's pretty much what I thought.
Right.
But with that being said, the Cold Springs Trojans are 2-0.
Yeah.
And it would be foolish for me to go against that group of talent that they got. I think that they're poised for a good season this year, and I'm going to go with the Trojans over the Woodville Eagles.
Toby's going Trojans. Trent?
Man, I mean, I got a really good look at both of these teams this week, right? And I was very impressed with Tiger Parker. And I was saying it in the second half how much Cold Spring needed to lean on their best player. And I'm not trying to hate on any of the other players for the Cold Spring team, but I'm just being a realist, too. That, I mean, he is your playmaker. And it takes a whole team around him. And that front line of the Cold Spring Trojans did a great job opening up holes for him. Even though with that being said, I know how big Woodville's front is. I know how physical they are. I just feel like Woodville has a slight edge, so I'm going Woodville.
Man, it is a hard pick. This game here, and as I've seen Cold Spring for the last couple of weeks, got to see Woodville. I got to see Cold Spring's offensive line do something this last week that
they have not done.
They have not.
Hats
done.
Off to them because they did do a great job that second half.
And I think that a big part of that has to do with the statute of that game, right? That you're talking about a group of seniors that has not won the Battle of San Jacinto.
That's right.
Since they've been in high school. And
it's a big win for them.
No, huge win. I mean, we got two of them sitting here right now in the studio. And I think those kids played at a different level for that game because of that game, and they wanted it more than anything. And the excitement showed it at the end of the game. I mean, it's hard for me, but I'm going to have to go Woodville in this game because I know the size of their D-line. And the discipline there, they're going
to
stack four
and
guys.
And we need you to go that way because that's these guys know what right. You do every week, and we're just here to prove you wrong.
And I want to be proved wrong. And if I'm wrong, if I have to pick wrong every week in order for
– then keep picking that way.
That's exactly right. I'll do what I can to support the team. Here's a good one. Liberty at East Chambers. Liberty's 0-2. East Chambers 1-1, right? I think this could be that pivotal game for Liberty. And there's my pick. I'm going to pick Liberty to win that game on the road down there at East Chambers. Trent?
Man, I just don't have a good feel for East Chambers yet. I mean, yeah, I saw Hardin Jefferson in a scrimmage, but it was in a scrimmage. You know, you can't really see what a team is right there, right? You can get a feel for some of their starters, but I've also seen Liberty, and we've talked about Liberty and how much they're really turned in the right direction, even though they haven't got a win yet. I have to go with Coach Sutherland and the East Chambers Buccaneers because I just don't want to bet against them, and I feel like that their that Rice Consolidated game in week one was just kind of one of those fluke things.
Yeah, when I look at this game, I wish we wouldn't have picked this one because it's tough, you know.
That's why I put it in there.
Yeah, it's another one that is tough.
Yeah.
But because I know that Liberty is on the right path, and I know that they're going to turn it around. I just don't know, is it going to be this week that they're going to turn it around? And I think that, like, the district championship out of our district is going to have to go through East Chambers. Yeah. I think it's a pivotal game for any team that goes to East Chambers in our district. And so, with that being said, I'm going to go with East Chambers.
Silsby at Nederland. Trent.
Go ahead, Trent.
Is it my turn?
It is.
Okay. I was looking at this game earlier.
And I made sure this game got in here because there's another game that I'm going to slide in that we hadn't even really talked about in this Pick'ems. And it's probably going to be the game of the week.
Well, let's get through this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a super hard pick, too, I think. You know, looking at Silsby, we've talked about them maybe not being as dominant as last year, you know, winning against Vider 28-14 and then beating LCM last week 27-14. And then you're looking at the Nederland Bulldogs. They're 2-0 as well, beat West Orange Start by one and then beat Lumberton 37-0. This game really could go either way, and it could have possibly been game of the week type material.
Agree.
I got a better one for game of the week.
Can I do a pass and come back to me? I want to say Silsby here, don't ask me necessarily why, but that's what my gut's telling me. But really, this is a coin flip.
Toby.
Yeah, I'm going Silsby.
All right. Man, I look at them beating West Orange.
Right.
And that plays big in my decision. They did beat West Orange.
You and Big E talked about it.
Yep. And then last week I picked against Silsby and they burnt me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of – but I'm going to go with Nederland.
Going Nederland.
I'm
going
to go Nederland, yeah.
So to the conversation that – with Coach Neese as well. You know, there's just some teams that you don't pick against, and they burnt me last week. I picked against them. So I'm not picking. I need to gain some points here. I'm going Silsby in this one. And I think it's going to be a good football game. But I'm going to go Silsby. Where are we at? Oh, here's a good one.
Now we're our game of the week, right?
No.
We got three two, more games to go. Yeah, we got okay. two more games right. before the game of the week.
Yeah. Lorena at Franklin.
I know where I'm going here.
To the house?
I mean, I'm at the house. But I know, and I'll go first again. I don't even care.
Go ahead.
I've learned just not to bet against this team. And, last year I was on the Lorena bandwagon in the regular season. I don't know if y'all remember that or not, because yeah. I was like, hey, Lorena's going to beat Franklin in the regular season. Yeah. And they ended up doing it.
They did.
Right?
Yeah.
Then, I remember that.
Yeah. Then you get to the playoffs when Franklin and Lorena went at it again.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin comes out on top of it, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't think Lorena is what they were last year. And I'm not going to bet against Franklin this time. I'm going Franklin.
So what is Lorena's record right now? Do y'all know?
I'd have to pull it up.
Pull it up.
Pull it up real quick.
Let me pull it up because I'm still just undecided.
Caden's sitting across from me over there, and he's got the headphones on. And whenever I threw this out there, he said, Lorena. Is that the direct camera? What direction would you go?
All right, so Lorena is 0-2 right now.
Yes, they're 0-2.
So they have not won a game. They got beat by Malakoff, which is really good, though.
Yes.
Okay, Malakoff's very good. It was 34-14. Then they got beat by Rice Regents, 51-15 is their other game. And now they get Franklin. So they're averaging 14 points a game. Man, that's a tough one there.
I'll go. I'll let you think
go ahead.
On it a little bit. I know the stable of backs that Franklin had last year and really watched. Was able to watch them. I thought we were looking at three running backs, and then there was four more that ended up coming in the game. Granted, they were playing Shepherd, but I watched them run, and you got to see a good part of Shepherd's defense. I mean, they're a good football. They're not great. They're good. They were a good football team last year. I got to go Franklin in this one. Trent, you are recording these, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm topping them as we go.
Okay.
Toby's turn.
Toby.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Lorena in this one over Franklin. I gotta be different. The crowd goes wild.
He heard the boys and they persuaded him. So here's another good one. Atascocita, Westlake.
Oh man, I thought you were gonna sandbag that one until the end.
No,
okay, you can go.
I got another one. No, you can go first. I was just to his comment on the game of the week.
I'm taking Austin Westlake.
You're going Westlake.
I'm going Westlake. They're traveling all the way to Westlake, so they're at their house. Westlake's got lots of good baseball players, and it's hard to bet against them year after year. And I'm not saying Atascocita's not got some guys, and I think they're on the right track. But I'm going Austin Westlake until I'm proved wrong.
So I'm sitting here looking, and Atascocita has given up 31 points all year defensively. Austin Westlake, it won't let me click on it, but maybe it'll let me click over here. Nope.
There it is. So they beat Prosper. They beat San Benito. So they scored 35-14 against Prosper.
Okay.
63-7 against San Benito. 12-point favorite against Humble Atascocita.
I'm going to go with the upset Atascocita.
Oh, you create that separation in these pickles.
Trent, you gonna drag on Toby's coattail, or are you going to – what are you going to do?
We talked about having good baseball players, Trent.
I know, and that's, you know, having athletes play is a big deal.
How many of them baseball players are wearing football jerseys?
But they're good athletes, too. They're good athletes.
Yeah. No, Craig was saying something like they'd go into Katy and blow them out, and they ended up doing it. 41-24 was the final over there against Katy. And that game was closer during halftime than we anticipated.
Katy's dynasty over the...
I've got to go with Atascocita as well.
Okay.
All right. You got to gain that separation.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So the game of the week, the 599 Sports game of the week here on the Pick'ems is going to be a good one. Y'all are going to like this. Huntsville on the road at Cedar Park.
Ooh.
So surprise one here.
If you go, so it, just to give everybody at home that's listening, before you go to the 599 Sports Facebook page and punch your pick'ems in, Cedar Park lost to Harker Heights 43-45, and they beat Austin Vandergriff 46-49.
Harker Heights is good, though.
Yeah.
They're top of the district in that district. Right. They're in Bryan's district.
Huntsville, they lose to Brenham 39-35, and they beat Bryan 49-24. So, if you go back on the Friday Night Lights app and you go through the pick'ems, it's a 50-50, right, between these two teams, literally, whenever I was looking at it the other day. So, I feel like that this is going to be a – and we talked about it a little bit earlier, Toby, when you were talking about Huntsville, and it was the first game that I sent out to you and Trent the other day. I guess I got to go first since I'm a loser, huh?
Yeah, we're going to let you go first.
Yeah.
Man, so as much as I want to keep riding on that Huntsville wagon and going with them, I'm going to go with Cedar Park in this one. I think it's going to be like a 35-24 football game. Really do.
I'm going to go with Cedar Park as well.
What was the score? I'm sorry to interrupt you. So it's 35. Did you say 35-24?
Yeah, 35-24.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry, Toby. What were you saying? You're saying Cedar Park as well.
I'm going to go with Cedar Park. I'm a big Huntsville. I think that they have lots of depth. They move their D line four at a time, so they'll run two plays with four of them. They'll switch them out, and so they're deep.
Fresh
their
legs.
DBs are good. Their quarterback is a senior. He's right. very good. They have a freshman that comes in and does running back and quarterback.
Kind of wildcat.
Kind of wildcat, does a little bit of it all. So they're stacked. But Cedar Park, on the other hand, is
stacked.
Huntsville's ranked number 25 right now, and Cedar Park's ranked number 14. That's going off of Max Preps.
And I think after you go, get but out you of the are top going, 10.
You are traveling to Cedar Park, and they're obviously make playoff runs all the time. I'm going to go with Cedar Park.
Score?
24-21.
24-21. He says it's going to be a barn burner, and a field goal is going to make the difference. Trent?
We've topped this up here.
It's going to be a really good football game.
I'm kind of out of my elements on this particular division.
That's why we did this.
Yeah, it was rigged that way.
So it's 5A Division 1, 5A Division 2.
I gave you the scores. This is part of the benefits of being in dead last from the week prior. So
they both have had some really high-scoring ball games over the last couple of weeks. And they're both 1-1. I mean, I don't know the details as Toby was going through some of them earlier about, you know, having seen what they have. Let's see, 8-6, and then 5-4. It's, man, I don't know whether to be different here or if I'm being dumb and going the other direction.
Look, Trent, this is why it's so important to listen to the whole show.
Whatever.
Yeah. And for the people that's at home, for the people that's at home listening to this and going to chime in on the pick'ems on the 590 Sports page on Facebook, you may need to hit that rewind button and start this podcast over. Because Toby threw some key information out there.
We really did. And I was thinking Huntsville at first, and then I hear what Toby's having to say, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Did I go Cedar Park as well? But you know what? I'm gonna be the different guy. I'm gonna say Huntsville.
Okay.
Just to be different, just like you were on that last pick on the Lorena deal, Toby. I'm going to be different. I'm going to go with Huntsville, and I'm going to say that it's going to be a little bit of higher scoring football game. I'm going to say 35. No, I'm going to say 36.
Oh,
two. No,
Kristen said 11. I heard it.
She said 11, yes.
No, it's going to be a high-scoring football game. Okay, I'm going to say Huntsville 42, and I'm going to say Cedar Park
35.
42-35.
Hey, he pumped some
points.
Look who came in the hot box.
CEO.
The CEO. Himself. Say hi, Trent. He ain't gonna talk. Man, good show.
He got a haircut this week.
Yeah. He got one. Yeah, he got a haircut the other day. Great show this week, guys. Coach Neeson here. Great interview. So next week we'll have Randy with Randy's Rubs. He's gonna be here in the hot box. We're gonna have to get him a better chair because those aren't gonna hold him.
Yeah.
Randy's a big old boy, so randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all. But good show this week. Coach Neese being on, great interview and great insight, you know, with the Garrison deal. That was very interesting. You know, he was scrambling, and that's what came together. So very interesting to hear the piece on that, but yet knowing the heritage of Garrison, I'm thinking, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking, you know what, maybe he knows something about Garrison this year.
That's more I was thinking, because I knew the 3 hours away. I was like, "Ooh, that's a long ways."
Yeah, most definitely. So it made it very interesting. So good interview. Great having him on the 590 Sports Show. So, Trent, any closing comments?
No, just looking forward to week three. I'm ready to get out of this preseason so that we can make our district picks and completely blow those.
Yeah, we're good at that.
We can start really looking at this district, right? I mean, this is I don't want to get ahead of myself, but because we're so early in the football season, but it'll be gone before we know it. And but no, it's fun so far.
Toby, any closing remarks?
I want to just shout out to them Cold Springs Trojans. That was a big win. I know everybody in town got to witness it, but you guys listening on the show, I think those coaches did a really good job of preparing those guys for that big game. They prevailed, so all the hard work that they've done all seasons and summer workouts and all that, I think it paid off, and I think they're off to a great start. So, yeah, we got a lot of good football ahead of us.
Cold Spring 2-0.
That's right.
So, best start in a couple of years that the Trojans have had. Caden's saying we're fixing to go 3-0 after this week with Woodville coming to Cold Spring Friday night. So, looking forward to that game. That's where I'll be. Wednesday night we'll be at Bullet Grill House, 401 Highway 156, Point Blank, Texas. If you're listening, y'all come hang out. The food's like, Caden, are them wings good?
The wings are good.
The wings are legit. The wings are legit. There's TV screens everywhere. The Astros game's on.
Yeah.
College football. I mean, it's, you go there at any occasion. It's really cool. But Wednesdays is really cool because they have a golf simulator, but it's always booked up by us.
Right.
So don't try to get it. But no, they got a golf simulator. It's really cool. So we eat wings and we all cut up and do all that, watch the Astros a little bit. And then we usually move over there and play some scramble golf.
$1.60 wing night on Wednesday nights. And it's not your little drums that you get at B-Dubs or something like that. They're whole wings.
Yeah.
Caden, what'd you eat? Five of them?
Five of them.
He ate five. That's like eating 20 wings at B-Dubs.
Yeah. That's a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, it is. So great.
Another quick shout out, because Gator season starts in 2 days. So if you haven't scheduled a Gator hunt, or if you're wanting to go on a Gator hunt, Porter's Processing and Alligator Farm.
Yes,
we'll take care of it. And so there's 2 days left before the start, but it goes for almost a month. And of course I'm not going to bring them up, but the roundup, and then the they have the Marsh Monster Classic, something like that. There's a lot of money involved, and you can win a lot of money, so you can get in on that while you're there. But go and talk to our friends Casey and Lindsay Hedges. You can go and visit them at portersprocessing.com and schedule you a gator hunt.
Porter's Processing Swamp Box is where Trent Hart's at. We're in the Randy's Rose Hot Box. For Trent Hart, Toby Tullis, I'm Craig Irwin. We will see you at the game.
Time for me to eat.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
From custom processing, professional guide and hunts, high tanning and gator merchandise, Porter's Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Porter's has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Porter's Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to portersprocessing.com or call 409-267-8413.